Can anyone open this? I'm sure you've all had that situation where you couldn't open that jar, you know, right? Can anyone open this? And today we're talking about a scroll. And if you want to be faithful followers of the text this morning, then you can go ahead and prepare. I'm going to start in Revelation 5. I'm going to jump to Isaiah. And then I'm going to find ourselves in Luke chapter 4. And then I'm going to conclude with the rest of chapter 5 of Revelation. Can anyone open this? Can anyone open this? Yes, I can. It's show and tell. You know what this is? It did? Huh? Can you see it? You can't see it? You see what I, can anyone open this? You can't tell what it is? Can you, out in YouTube land? You know what? I'm not going to leave it. Nope. I'm not going to leave it. Maybe God just wanted you to see the whole thing. Ah, see what I did there? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I was a little too strong, okay? Maybe I was a little too strong, right? So I made the sausage yesterday. You know, a lot of people, like, they have different techniques about cracking an egg, right? Like, some professionals say, you know, you should crack on a solid surface. So I did. It's granite. I cracked on a solid surface. Well, guess what? It's all over the countertop. I'm done for, right? Well, I learned a lesson in that moment. We are all broken. And furthermore, we're often all over the place. Yoke with Jesus. If there's one thing I want you to know today, who can open it? Only Jesus. In Christ alone, by grace and faith alone, the good news, you're never alone. You got that? In Christ alone, by grace and faith alone, the good news is you're never alone. So we're going to be looking at Revelation, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at, like, the coming of Jesus, like this prophecy, and then we're going to look at the life of Jesus, and then the end, go right back to Revelation. So I'm going to come full circle. Ha, gotcha. Yeah. Can anyone open this? Only the Lord can open it. So let's pick up in Revelation chapter 5. Actually, I didn't plan that. He planned that. Okay. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back. Footnote, most times the writing is only on the inside. This is written on both sides. Sealed with seven seals. Normally it's sealed with six seals. You know, you just think about wax, right? Hot wax, and it's like a signet ring. And so each witness would put their seal on it, and it closes it up. Got that? Right? So it's closed. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even look in it. And I cried. I wept. I cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even look in it. You know, we should all weep because of our brokenness. The things that we have done and the things that we have not done, omission and commission. But we should also shed tears of joy for what Jesus has done for us in Christ alone, by grace alone, and faith alone. Praise God, we're never alone. Who can make a difference? Jesus can make a difference. Are we going to be sprawled all over the counter? Yeah. Often we are. We're not just broken, we're often shattered. There's no way I was even going to attempt to put that egg in the frying pan. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like Humpty Dumpty? Like, no. Like, you just go in the trash can, right? The good thing is, God, Jesus takes our trash and redeems it, makes us a new creation, a new song. That's the beauty. So, I know, you're like, why in the world does he have a tape measure? I know. I got you. Yeah. Now, a scroll. What is a scroll? A lot of you already have like an image of a scroll. Now, scrolls most often are made of papyrus. Parchment, the thing about parchment and the and actually there's a correlation between literacy and writing medium. And the reason is papyrus is plentiful. There's a plethora of papyrus out there, right? Right? You get a lot of paper. To produce a piece of parchment, it requires a sacrifice. Does that make sense? Right? It's animal skin. You can't just like take the skin off an animal. That's a biology lesson. Free of charge there. So, a scroll is often on some sort of pole, some sort of rod, and then it's rolled up. And most of the scrolls were papyrus, but in 1947, just outside the Dead Sea, in a little place called Qumran, is what we call the Dead Sea Scrolls. Found all these scrolls in a cave. The scroll from Isaiah was this long, 24 feet long. 24 feet long. No wonder we have books. Right? Scrolling, right? You think about scrolling. It's a good thing I got the 25-footer today. 25 feet minus one is 24. 20 long is this scroll that they found. And it was 17 different pieces of, this was actually parchment. It was bound together by linen strips. And these documents were like so important. But I want to jump to Isaiah because we're talking about these scrolls. And the word scroll now is basically navigating a screen. Think about that, right? Scroll through your email. Scroll through your Instagram. Yeah, I posted that on Instagram. That's right. Look, here's a bonus. We're all influencers. We are all influencers for the good or the bad. As my dad would say, are you here to help or hinder? Are you for Jesus or are you against him? Isaiah chapter 11. I'm just going to read this through. And imagine this Isaiah text, right? I mean, there's a lot of chapters in Isaiah, over 60 chapters. Imagine if you had to find something in the scroll of Isaiah. You'd have to know where you're looking. So then a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and this reminds me of the tree that I've talked about before. It's like, it's just out of nowhere. It looks like it's dead. It looks like it's done. It's over with. But no, then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears, but he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed of the land. He will strike the land with discipline from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with the command of his lips, or with his breath, as some, like this Spirit of God executing justice. This is beautiful. Righteousness and faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling will be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. An infant will play beside the cobra's pit, and a toddler will put his hand a snake's den. No one will harm or destroy on my entire holy mountain, for the land will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. That's a lot of knowledge. I've got to add verse 10. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. Wow. This is what's to come. I don't think we're living in this world yet. Am I right? Like, we're all over the place. We're all after our own things. We're all after our own wants and desires. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. This is his daily or his normal custom, right? He is visiting the synagogue. Now, watch this closely. This is where the tape measure is going to come in. Okay, 24 feet. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. So the scroll of Isaiah is given to Jesus, and he unrolls the scroll, and he does what? He found the place where it's written. Does anybody know where that is? In your little footnotes? Like, where does he find? He's got 24 feet of text. How wide is the scroll? That's a lot of stuff there. Jesus knows exactly where it is because it is him. And the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he takes the scroll, he rolls it back up, and he gave it to the attendant and he sat down. And everybody's like freaking out, going, what in the world? And all the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus, right? Like, who is this guy? Well, they know this guy. He began saying to them, today. Right? This is like exclamation point. Today, as you listen, this scripture, the one I just read, about me being anointed, it has been fulfilled. I am the one. You see, you talk about sunny side up. Nah, our lives are sunny side down. The good news is the sun has come down to us. We're all over the counter. You want to counter your brokenness, then you yoke to Jesus. Because he has come to set us free from the oppression that we often stir up in our own lives. He then rolled the scroll up. Today that it's fulfilled. They were all speaking of him, well of him, and they were amazed by the gracious words that came from his mouth. Yet they said, hold on. Isn't this Joseph's son? We know this guy. Like, how in the world can that be? Then Jesus said, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me. Doctor, heal yourself. Doctor, heal yourself. Physician, heal yourself. Could Jesus heal himself? When they looked at Jesus up at the cross, they say, what? Come down, you can heal yourself. What did Jesus say about healing? He's the great physician, right? He says, I have not come for the healthy, but I've come for the sick. He's come for us. This is a hospital. We admit that we're broken. We're sick. We need help. We're all over the place. We're all over the counter. Pick me up, Jesus. Here's the problem. We try to fix ourselves. I have a scar on the back of my calf right here. You know why? I'll tell you the story. So a couple weeks ago, I'm a biker. Like, I got this, right? And so my school, we won a $20,000 grant. And so it's with the Hospital of Special Surgery out of New York, Aspen Institute. And this is a big deal. They're number one in the world, orthopedic. And so we're doing this movement stuff, right? And they're trying to help us be preventive, right? We're trying to be, like, get our athletes in the right posture and stuff. So they had this 30-day challenge. Now, the night before, I went out, and I had a killer bike ride. So in the morning, I'm like, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to start this 30-day challenge. I'm getting on board. Like I want to do what we're calling our athletes to do. I was about 30 seconds in. And I could still hear the instructor say, now move into a bike position. And so I'm kind of like up this and like stretching your calves out, you know. And it might feel a little stretch. That's what I heard. You might feel a little stretch and then pop. I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? So I'm like, I can't afford, like, I have this history of, like, I'm in really good shape, and then I get hurt. And so, like, I'm like, yeah, like this is bike stuff. Like, how could this, and so I go inside, and I'm going full force treatment. And I don't know if you guys know what Tiger Balm is. You probably heard of like Bengay. Tiger Balm is like Bengay times 50, okay? It's like a, you know, really, really hot stuff. And whenever we're like on the bus or whatever, and you got like a little sore arm, you know, you get a little Tiger Balm on, loosened up, right? It gets in there. And you know why? I said, yeah, I'm going to ice it. I'm going to wrap it up, a little compression. So I took some Tiger Balm, and I put it on a paper towel, and I wrapped it around my leg, and then I put the compression on, and I iced it up. And so that was Saturday. On Monday, I was talking to actually the individual who went out and got us the grant for 20 grand. The reason why, like, I've got this little scar on my leg. And I was like, look at that. And you know what? I was like, yeah, this didn't look like bruising. That afternoon, it was wet. I had burned a hole in my leg with the Tiger Balm, and it's still there. I tried to fix myself. Only Jesus can heal your brokenness. Only Jesus. We have scars on our bodies, internally and externally, that remind us of our brokenness. Revelation chapter 5. You know, when I think about Tiger Balm, I can't help but think about the song, There Is a Balm in Gilead. It says, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. We don't need Tiger Balm. We need the balm of the Lion and the Lamb. You see, then one of the elders said to me, stop crying. And that's what I'm telling you right now. Stop crying, because we've got an answer. Look, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, this is that stump of Jesse, that shoot, he has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders and the seven horns and the seven eyes. And there were seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand and of the one seated on the throne. He says, look, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down. This is what we need to do. With tears of joy, we just need to fall down and worship God Almighty. Each one had a harp. We all have a song to play, right? Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense. Are we a fragrant aroma, or do we stink up the place? Which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slaughtered for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and for our sake, he was crucified. In Christ alone, by grace alone, and faith alone, praise be to God, we are not alone. Because you have been redeemed. You are the redeemed people. Why and how? By the blood of the Lamb, from every tribe and language and people and nation. I mean, this is a reminder of Paul's. Like, there's neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male or female. For those who embrace the reality of the resurrection and the crucifixion, there is a new song. He said, I looked up to heaven and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and also the living creatures and all the elders. And their number was countless. Thousands plus thousands. In the Greek, There is no higher number than 10,000. We just maxed it out. The lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing forever and ever. You know, last week, you've all experienced this. Not who can open this, but where are my keys? Where are my keys? I'm looking all over the place. I'm looking in my bag. It gets lost in my bag often. Like, it's my little pocketbook. You know where they were? You want to take a guess? They were in the ignition. Not only were they in the ignition, like, I was ready to go, right? They were in the on position. You know what I had to do next. I needed a little power. You see, here's the problem. This is what we do all the time. We try to keep our keys in that half position with Jesus. It's got to be all the way, or you're going to have a dead battery. That's the bottom line. In Christ alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, He'll never leave you alone. Amen.